This is VOA News in Washington. I'm Jeff Custer. As expected, the United States has vetoed an Arab-backed UN resolution demanding an immediate humanitarian ceasefire in the Israel-Hamas war in the embattled Gaza Strip. The vote Tuesday in the 15-member Security Council was 13-1, with Britain abstaining, reflecting the wide global support for ending the more than four-month war that started with Hamas's surprise attack in southern Israel October 7th. U.S. Ambassador to the U.N. Linda Thomas-Greenfield told the council the United States is seeking a long-term deal that would see a future that would see Israel living in peace with all its neighbors.
And we believe that the resolution on the table right now would, in fact, negatively impact those negotiations. Demanding an immediate, unconditional ceasefire without an agreement requiring Hamas to release the hostages will not bring about a durable peace. Instead, it could extend the fighting between Hamas and Israel.
Thomas Greenfield did say the U.S. could support a counterproposal for an immediate ceasefire that would be based on the formula of all hostages being released immediately. Despite a month of U.S.-led airstrikes, Yemen's Iran-backed Houthi rebels remain capable of launching significant strikes. Associated Press News Director for the Gulf and Iran, John Gambrell, discusses the latest developments with the Houthi rebels' Red Sea attacks.
We've seen a series of new attacks by Yemen's Houthi rebels targeting shipping in the Red Sea, the Gulf of Aden, and the crucial Bab el-Mandeb Strait that link these two waterways. Now, just recently we've seen the Houthis target a ship with missiles. Missile hit, and it forced the crew on board to abandon the ship. Meanwhile, the Houthis also claim that they've shot down an MQ-9 Predator drone that the U.S. was flying near the port city of Hodeidah. All this put together shows that the Houthis are still capable of fighting, even as the U.S., the U.K., and allied nations have launched a series of airstrikes targeting their positions.
This is VOA News. The White House says it's preparing additional major sanctions on Russia in response to opposition leader Alexei Navalny's death in an Arctic penal colony last week. Meanwhile, residents of Moscow continued Tuesday to bring flowers in memory of the deceased opposition leader to a gulag stone dedicated to victims of the Stalin-era political repressions. VOA's Rick Pantaleo tells us more.
The sudden death of Alexei Navalny Friday came as a devastating shock to many Russians who held hopes for the future of President Vladimir Putin's fiercest foe. Yelena Kirilina, a retiree, spoke to the Associated Press after placing flowers at the monument. The whole space around him was filled with freedom when he appeared. That's why the Russian authorities wanted to eliminate him, so that the spirit of freedom would never again hover in the prison walls, because there are no such free people anymore. According to the OVD Info Rights Group, 401 Navalny mourners in over a dozen cities were held by police Saturday night. Rick Pantaleo, VOA News.
Also in Moscow Tuesday, a court there said jailed U.S. journalist Evan Gershkovich would remain in a pretrial detention until at least March 30th, ensuring he will spend at least a year behind bars in a Russian jail. Russian prosecutors have charged the Wall Street Journal reporter Gershkovich with espionage, the first time such a criminal accusation has been leveled against a Western reporter in Russia since the fall of the Soviet Union. Gershkovich, his employers, and the White House all reject the charges, which carry a maximum sentence of 20 years. Speaking to reporters outside the courthouse, U.S. Ambassador to Russia Lynn Tracy once again called the charges against Gershkovich baseless.
Although I could not speak with Evan in the courtroom today, I expect to visit him tomorrow at Lefortovo prison, where I will check on his treatment and his well-being. The plight of U.S. citizens wrongfully detained in Russia remains a top priority for me, for my team, and for the entire U.S. government.
The World Health Organization raised an alarm Tuesday regarding the rapid spread of measles around the world, with more than 306,000 cases reported last year, a 79% increase from 2022. WHO technical advisor on measles and rubella, Natasha Crocroft, said they did not have a complete overview of the measles situation in the world, but would suspect the mortality rates from the disease also were up last year.
What we can see is if we've got a 79% increase in cases in 2023, we would anticipate an increase in deaths in 2023 as well. But we can't say it's going to be a 79% increase because it depends where the cases occur.
The WHO stressed measles are typically dramatically underreported, and the real number of cases was surely far higher. In Washington, I'm Jeff Custer. This is VOA News.